You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Fusaro. Joe, we're previewing spring training, and I'm not really sure what to ask you. There doesn't seem to be a lot of question or uncertainty about this Marlins roster and this Marlins camp as spring approaches. I think maybe the biggest question might be Danny Heron, so we'll start with that. What's the latest? Is he going to come to camp? Is he going to pitch for the Marlins in 2015?
Yes, I mean, probably the most encouraging news in the last week is the fact that Dan Heron has informed the club he is on board. He's looking forward to being a Miami Marlin and will report with everybody else and is ready to go. I mean, the guy has gone, 10 straight years with 30 or more starts, and if he could do that again, the Marlins would be very happy.
One of the things that came of the acquisitions the Marlins made this winter is that they've got a really nice assortment of backup candidates. They've got about three guys who are not only six starters, but really you can make a pretty decent case to be a pretty good four or five starter somewhere. With Kohler, with Hand, with Phelps, how do those guys fit in to this pitching staff?
Yeah, because the guy who doesn't make that group, and basically we're looking at, you know, all things as they kind of map out right now, you're looking at three guys for one rotation spot with two guys that don't get that spot moving to the bullpen. Now, keep this in mind with Brad Hand, the lefty is out of options, and he's not ideally suited to pitch out of the pen, and if he shows promise in spring training, I think he's going to have a trade market. So he might be a guy that ends up, you know, being moved for a piece sometime during spring training if he doesn't flat out win the job.
So we're setting up for a headline at some point where we can finally write "Aloha, Mr. Hand." That would just be too exciting.
Yes, we can.
The other big question this spring is a guy who won't quite be ready for the opener, but will be closely watched. What kind of program will Jose Fernandez be on as he tries to get ready for a first half of the season return to action?
Well, you know, Jose Fernandez's return is probably going to be one of the most followed stories. Now, Jose, the exciting thing is he will be on the mound and everybody will be there to watch him pitch off the mound. Now, you know, he'll be closely monitored if it's 20 pitches, 25 pitches, whatever. That's all moving up towards a, you know, potential return within a window of June 15th and July 15th. You know, the Marlins are kind of a record saying that could be the time frame. Now, Matthew, the interesting thing is if he is available on June 15th, best case scenario, New York Yankees are in Miami that night at Marlins Park, and you're talking about kind of a marquee Monday night national TV type game. That would be it. And knowing Jose and his determination, I'm sure if that's doable, he will be striving to make that happen. But if he also is playing, you know, close to the vest and careful around the All-Star break, you know, also could be a very realistic and, you know, logical timetable as well.
They were still, up until the end, looking at making another significant starting pitching addition. In the absence of that, are they confident that they've got the depth, the innings, the quality to stay in the hunt while they're waiting for Fernandez to come back?
Yeah, the answer obviously has to be yes, because, you know, this is where Heron coming on board is very important, because now they don't have to worry about that, you know, particular veteran presence in their lineup. But it does. It clearly does mean that the guys on hand will have to be healthy, will have to be productive, and have to be ready to take it to the next step. You know, unlike past years, you know, where guys were just, you know, kind of getting their feet wet, seeing who can play as more of a valuation, they're looking to go toe-to-toe with the Nationals, and the Mets certainly are much improved as well. And they're going to have to be there, and that starting pitching is going to have to do its part. Now, what's interesting is, you know, they may not have the best starting five in the division, but they're aiming to have the best 12 pitchers on their staff, meaning if they could complement a pretty good starting five with a very good bullpen and, you know, get those innings that way and those wins that way, I think that's going to kind of be a plan of attack as they, you know, try to put together all, you know, the seven relievers to go with the five starters.
How do you see that bullpen shaking out? Because there are a lot of interesting pieces. I mean, it's pretty clear what they do in the ninth, but between the guys who might go there from the starter, competition, some of the sort of name acquisitions they made over the winter. How do you see that bullpen coming together?
It's going to be interesting because, you know, they did lose Chris Hatcher as part of the trade for D. Gordon. He's going to L.A., and he really showed promise in the second half. But, you know, Brian Morris, he was hurt in September, but he's healthy. He's in there in the eighth inning along with A.J. Ramos. They just avoided arbitration with lefty Mike Dunn, signing him for 2 years. So those three are kind of the guys to handle that eighth, you know, seventh plus and eighth innings. Now you got Aaron Crow came in the trade with Kansas City. The guy has got a nice little track record, was part of a, you know, went to the World Series, even though he wasn't on the postseason roster, but did his part getting Kansas City where they ended up being. That's the type of guy that could log multiple innings. I think you're going to see potentially, you know, if they could get six strong from their starters, you know, you're going to see, you know, some combinations where guys are going to go one plus inning. So I think a David Phelps, if he's not in the rotation, fits that mold. Aaron Crow can fit that mold. You know, and Hatcher gave you that potential to go more than one inning as well. So I think you're going to see Brad Hand, if he's in the bullpen, will do that as well. You know, be a guy that could go multiple innings. So I think you're not going to see necessarily the conventional or the traditional he's our long guy. I think you might see three or four guys in there who are, you know, multiple inning guys, and meanwhile, you know, give a guy a night off to try to, you know, get that bullpen in order. And an interesting thing, Matthew, is if they go after, you know, Francisco Rodriguez, K-Rod is still out there, and, you know, they're weighing whether or not they want to move him as an eighth inning guy and then make that bullpen even stronger. But, you know, that remains to be seen as if they could get a deal done.
Is there any question, any doubt at all in your mind how Giancarlo Stanton comes back when he's facing live pitching this spring?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's just human nature. I mean, that baseball hit me in the face the way it did, you know, that's tough to come back. Not everybody that's been hit in the face has, you know, come back at the highest of levels again. So until we see it, I'm not going to say it's a huge concern, but it's certainly a curiosity how, because I think teams are going to challenge him. I think that he's going to, and this is where it could be a very interesting season. You know, the Marlins, how much they come to the protection of their big guy, and I'm sure they will, that if the teams are going to kind of, you know, send a little message pitch at them, what kind of result that'll be. But, you know, Stanton's also a very tough guy. He was a football player in his, you know, younger years, and, you know, was very eager to get back on the field even as early as a week after getting hit in the face. Now, he wasn't medically cleared, obviously, to do that, but his mindset was he wanted to get back in there. But until we actually see him in the batter's box, we will, you know, we'll definitely keep an eye on that, and that's something to be concerned about.
How much Ichiro do you think we'll see this spring? Is there any element of sort of saving the bullets for a guy who is not exactly in his 20s?
Maybe, but I also think they want to get him as many at-bats, if nothing else, if that outfield's like they think it's going to be with three guys going every day. You know, he's going to have to get his at-bats. So, you know, I'm sure he will, you know, probably tell them what he's comfortable doing as well. But yeah, he's going to be fun to watch. I mean, there's no doubt in that transition going from being a superstar to a situational guy with still the carrot of 156 hits away from 3,000 is, you know, he's going to be fun to watch and to see what, you know, he does to the, you know, for the rest of that outfield and the rest of those offensive players as well. But I anticipate we're probably going to see a good bit of Ichiro in spring training.
One kind of quiet under-the-radar move this club made this winter was bringing in Jeff Baker, who's been a really nice complimentary piece for several clubs for several years, or for a couple clubs for several years. How do you anticipate seeing him used both this spring and in the regular season? Because he can play a couple of different positions. He's potentially a power bat. He's an interesting guy.
Yeah, he is, you know, and he's that guy who could be a primary pinch hit guy, certainly the right-handed pinch hit option, you know, to complement if he throws, you know, going against Kimbrel in that lefty situation. But, you know, he's the guy I also think you're going to see if Michael Morris is used in a double switch or something like that, that, you know, Bake can hit, you know, if he pinch hits in the nine hole, stay in the game, play first base. So, yeah, that's a very valuable guy. I think most of his on-the-field stuff will probably be at first base, but he can play some second and some third and little outfield as well. But I think first base and pinch hit and, situational starts as well.
All right. Well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.